So our next reading is from Matthew 19 on page 954 of your Bibles, and we're going to be reading verses 13 to 30 of chapter 19 under the heading The Little Children and Jesus. Then little children were brought to Jesus for him to place his hands on them and pray for them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." When he had placed his hands on them, he went on from there. Now a man came up to Jesus and asked, "Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life?" "Why do you ask me about what is good?" Jesus replied. "There is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, obey the commandments." "Which ones?" the man inquired. Jesus replied, "Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false testimony, honor your father and mother, and love your neighbor as yourself." "All these things I have kept," the young man said. "What do I still lack?" Jesus answered, "If you want to be perfect, go. Sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." When the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "I tell you the truth, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished and asked, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Peter answered him, "We have left everything to follow you. What then will there be for us?" Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth, that the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mothers or children or fields for my sake will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first." This is the Lord's word.
Morning, everyone.
Morning.
Usually people get quite excited when I don't turn up to things, so I'm sorry to disappoint you. Let's pray. Father, we pray that you might lead us, help us, encourage us, enthuse us, strengthen us, lead us, correct us, rebuke us. All these things we ask because we want to hear what you are saying to us in your word, and keep me from error, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we stopped, didn't we, in chapter 19 last week, so we pick it up where we left off. So hopefully you might remember where we were. We've been heading to the cross, really, and Jesus is continually talking about the kingdom, which the coming kingdom, which is coming quite soon. There's an urgency about it. That's in the whole way in Matthew's gospel, which is a real something I've really noticed, is basically that sense of it's coming soon. It's I've called it apocalyptic expectation, and I'm hoping you're perhaps coming convinced of it. Jesus is back in Judea. Beyond the Jordan, it's a dangerous place we saw last week, and it's a place where people came to be baptized with John because their hearts weren't right. Jesus has been talking a lot about hearts, meaning who we are and what we do and how we act. And hearts have been called to be changed, but they have not. And we've seen that even last week, people were doubling down on their hard-heartedness rather than becoming the heart that Jesus wants. From verses 13 to 15, we get a familiar scene in one sense. And I've titled it The Way into the Kingdom, The Way into the Kingdom, verses 13 to 15. It's here that we find again that apocalyptic perspective. Children are brought to Jesus. Now, we've seen this scene before, really, haven't we? Back in chapter 18. I don't know why I'm pointing, but anyway, if we were to turn back in chapter 18, we would find in those four verses, Jesus did something very similar, where he brought children and he stood them in front of him and said, "The kingdom of God belongs to such as these." It's a surprising situation, because that's counterintuitive. Children in the context of the gospel and this situation, they bring nothing. They have no power. They have no riches. They have nothing to bring. And Jesus was saying, they need to receive. That's how we become. We come into the kingdom by receiving the salvation that is given to us. And so here again, we have a very similar scene. The children were brought to Jesus for him to place his hands on it, says verse 13, and pray for them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." When he had placed his hands on them, he went on from there. Notice Jesus does not really do anything until he does what he says he will do. He places the hands on them. He doesn't just say, "Let them come." He actually does that act. As they come, as they're brought to the one who can bless, Jesus bless. As we said, children have no status, they have no importance, they have no power, they have no great wisdom. Unlike a lot of the people we've been seeing in the gospel who say they've got great wisdom. They do have power, whether they be kings, people like Herod. Children must receive. And the disciples amaze us, don't they? Because they haven't got it. From two chapters back, that the kingdom belongs to people such as these, they're telling people, "Go away. Don't bother him," rebuking them, rebuking those who brought them. And that's a surprising, but it tells us something about what they don't seem to get. And we're going to find that, aren't we, as we go along in this chapter. Jesus is not impressed, and he says, "Do not hinder them. Let them come, for the kingdom belongs to such of these." Again, we need to take on that idea that the way into the kingdom is to receive it. You can't come with anything. You must receive it. Jesus, the kingdom belongs to such as these, not to the learned, not to the great, but to the children who bring nothing, can contribute nothing. They're simply brought, we notice in the story, and the object lesson, as they are brought to the right person who can give it to them, this blessing. That's the point. Come to Jesus and receive what God can give. He will bless. Notice he does. He doesn't say, "Oh yeah, go away, you're all right." He blesses them. That's the way to the kingdom. And then we get this very familiar tale who basically comes in, a man who we know often as the rich young ruler. And he is a way, the opposite, the way to miss out on the kingdom. Verses 16 to 22. And he has a question. "Teacher, good teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life?" We've just learned, haven't we? This is exactly the opposite of what we've just learned. We've just learned nothing. There is nothing you can do. Come, just come and receive. As a child, you must receive by coming to that right person. Coming to Jesus is the right person. So the young man does have something right, doesn't he? He comes to Jesus and he calls him good. But he is wealthy, he is respected. He has, by all that evidence, as you look at him, he is blessed. But we have a problem, don't we? His question in verse 16, because we know something wrong with it. What good deed must I do to have eternal life? That's not what we've been learning. That's not a child's perspective. He wants to do things. It sounds like an adult. It sounds like me. Probably you. What can I do to bring this good deed to show the Lord and show him is what he's doing. That's what he wants to do. And Jesus runs with that line of thinking. It's important to notice what Jesus does. He doesn't correct him here. He's running with this thinking to lead him to the conclusion, hopefully, of where this thinking will lead. So he runs with it. Jesus' answer is well known. Firstly, he says in verse 17, what is good? There is only one good. Jesus' answer is talking about God, isn't he? Only God is good. And people have used this verse all the time, and you will get it, that this is Jesus denying he is God. I'm going to show you, and I hope you realize it's exactly the opposite. Exactly the opposite. He's running with this thinking. And so he wants to lead him in that thinking. Who is good? You call me good. Who is good? Because the realization that Jesus is the one whom God has sent is how you will receive. The man has come to the right one to be blessed. Does he actually know who he is? Jesus tries to lead him in that thinking. Jesus' answer is a direct claim to actually being divine, to being God. It's actually the opposite of what many people say he's saying. Jesus' answer points to the fact that he is God. And then he clearly points out the way to eternal life, because Leviticus chapter 18, verse 5 said, if you do the commandments, you will live. His thinking is, what do I need to do to get to eternal life? That's fine, let's run with that. Jesus directs in Leviticus 18, do the commandments. And then after the man wants to know which ones, Jesus then gives him a summary, strangely, of the Ten Commandments. He only deals with the ones that are to other people. He deals with the commandments that deal with people. And it reminds us, as he lists those commandments, it reminds us of chapter 15, verse 19, when Jesus says, for out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, and slander. It's basically the commandments he's told him to do. Because what this whole chapter, again, as it was last week, will be about heart. Will be about hearts. Out of these things come out of an evil heart. And an evil heart is actually the explanation, unfortunately, for this man. Jesus has moved around and he's been talking about that half problem. As I said, this is on show again. It's not the commandments, keeping them, because you can't. We've seen that as you go along. It's out of the humility of heart of coming like a child to receive. Only God can give and you'll come to Jesus. I must receive from the one whom God has sent, Jesus. At the end of verse 19, Jesus sums that all up, which is a familiar summary. Love your neighbour as yourself. And we know, again, this is not possible. It's man's problem. It's a human problem. But his answer stuns us. Verse 20, all these I have kept. So let's just think about that. Every single person that I've ever met, ever, I have not only treated well, but I have treated them perfectly as God would want me. Every single person. How are you feeling? You think that might be doable? Every single person. What do I still lack, he says, because all these I have kept. Jesus still runs with it. But his claim shows he's not like a child. His heart is not right. He needs nothing. If we need to receive, he says he doesn't. Wow. Feeling a bit uneasy. Jesus had been running into people who are seriously self-deceived, who come and oppose him. But Jesus gives him a call, and it's interesting. Why does he give him a call? Because he's running with that thinking. But it also seems to be to his own disciples, as we see. It shows him what is in the heart. Shows him what's in his own heart. Verse 21, if you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. Now, I've been stunned a little bit lately by a number of people who are Christian who I've run into who talk about how one of the main aims in their life, I expect them to say, godliness or serving the Lord or something, they say money. And they say it unashamedly. I've run into people who are, I've probably said this before, I had a conversation where with one of them, they said they were running off to buy gold bullion that day. And I don't know about you, but I actually hadn't had a conversation with anyone who was buying gold bullion. I don't know about you, but maybe it's a normal conversation for yourself. I can see Bill shaking his head. He doesn't seem to run into many gold bullion buyers. This passage is not really about money. It's about the heart, okay? I'm staggered by that attitude. But this passage is not about don't have money. So please don't hear me say that. I'm not saying that. The man says, I have kept all the commandments, and that's actually his problem. If you want to get perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor. Jesus follows that line of thinking to see how far he will go. It's not a commandment to sell everything. You don't have to go home and give it all to the church. That's not what we're asking to do. I just want to put that on record. Sorry, the treasurer. But Jesus is just pointing it out to him. Then come, follow me. That's the real thing. And the man goes away quite sad because he is rich. His possessions are precious. The way to eternal life for him has not been about coming and receiving. It's about being something else. Doing. Being. To follow Jesus is to give this up. To give up that self-reliance. To become like the child. and receive. It staggered me how people in the church don't like this message. They don't like it. When you say you can do nothing, they don't like that message. But that's the whole message. Jesus has something to receive. Recognize who he is and receive it with joy. The man can't do it. And he goes away. And he's an object lesson like the child, isn't he? The child is an object lesson. So is he. He's the opposite. The way to get in, the way to stay out. Self-reliance against receiving. And so lastly, we get, thirdly, how to enter the kingdom in 23 to 30. The children have nothing in this story, nothing really to bring, but the man seemingly has it all, maybe even gold bullion. Who then can be saved, say the disciples in verse 25. Remember who they tried to keep away. The children. It's not an accident that actually when they look at the children and the rich young man, how did he get here? The children have been turned away. But you didn't turn him away because he looks the part. He's the one you choose. That's what they're doing. We like him. So their question is, who then can be saved? If he can't get in, who is getting in? And so Jesus says it's very difficult for the rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I think it's about not being poor and receiving. Not riches and money, really. And camels don't go through the eye of needles. You can find commentaries trying to explain things about that, but it's meant to be what it is. Camels don't go through needles. They're very small. Have you noticed? I can never get a thread in there, and I'm not going to get a camel through. The rich were normally the people who get everything. Has anything changed? You know, if you are poor, and particularly young perhaps, and you live in the Western Sydney and you do something wrong, you'll probably get in really bad trouble. But when you work in a government department or you're a CEO, you get to apologise and go to counselling. Nothing has changed. Nothing at all. It's maybe got worse. I don't know. Camels don't go through eye of needles, and people who say they come with everything to God won't get through either. If they can't be saved, who can be? Jesus answers, with man this is impossible, verse 26, but with God all things are possible. It's a word of assurance. God has found a way, and that way is before them, standing with them. A way to bring humans with hearts that aren't right into the kingdom. Peter blurts out what everyone's thinking, because what do you think? I don't know about you, but it's always about me. And that's what the question is, verse 27. He says, we've left everything to follow you. What then will there be for us? Unlike the young man, they have responded. They have come. Remember his call to them? It's the call that they received. Jesus responds, and he responds to their deep fears with an assurance in verse 29. Everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or fields for my sake, it's a lot there, will receive 100 times as much. And will inherit eternal life. He gives them the picture of the future, the one that's actually based on something we've referred to time and time again, Daniel chapter 7, verses 13 to 14. It's the one where the Ancient of Days is approached by the Son of Man as he comes to him and he receives the kingdom. And that's the picture Jesus gives here. They will share in that kingdom because he will give it to them. Get it because they're so wonderful, they've left everything and come to him? No, because he will give it to them. They will receive it because it's a gift. The future is the kingdom that God is bringing about, the one that Jesus keeps talking about that is coming, the one that comes and has come in the person of Jesus. This world will be changed. It will be, he uses a word, regenerated. The regeneration of this world will come because the Son of Man will come in all his glory to the Father in heaven, who will give him the kingdom, and he will sit on his throne. This is a complete reversal, verse 30, of how we think the world works. Because instead of the so-called great ones inheriting the world, it will be the least, which of course picks up children, doesn't it? Instead of the Pharisees and the Herod or the rich, the kingdom belongs to the last. It belongs to the children, the poor, the humble. Why? Not because it's godly to be poor. What it is because they come to receive. How do you get into the kingdom? By asking. Remember my silly example I once told you about how I kept myself out of the kingdom. I thought I needed to stop swearing because I swore a lot in year 11, year 12. Way too much. Like I just did it all the time and I knew it was wrong, but I just did it. So I thought I needed to get good to get God. I needed to be like the rich man. I said, oh, I need to get good so I can come to Jesus. I couldn't get good. Do you like that sort of English? I couldn't actually be as I wanted to be. It was a failure and I went away. And it was only when Jesus made it plain to me, come. In all my, come and receive. And it was only then and then when I had nothing to bring, when I realized and said, I have nothing, forgive me, I know what you have done for me. What a gracious gift that I received. And that's how you get into the kingdom. Not by having a Bachelor of Theology. In fact, that might keep you out. Not in the Presbyterian Church, of course. But instead, just come to the kingdom where the least are made the greatest. They will sit on the thrones given them by their Saviour who has inherited it all. A testimony of God's holiness, righteousness, truth and grace. Let's pray. Gracious Lord, what a simple message. How hard it is to hear. How strange that people don't like it. Surely they say there must be more. Just like the rich man, they think they will need to do and aren't willing to give up. Lord, when we come, we've given up so much. We thank you that the last shall be first and the first shall be last. We thank you that you have reversed the way our world works. That though we might not be great in the eyes of our world, You have made us great in the person of your Son, Jesus. We praise you and thank you that his kingdom is the one we want and need. We pray, Lord, that we might receive. Pray that we be encouraged and strengthened. We are often tempted to think, if only I was like this, or if I was more like that, if only I could do this or do that, if only I would, yes, receive, but do this as well. Lord, all these thoughts are not from you, but from the evil one, who seeks to change what you have said, to add on things to this very, very simple message. Come and receive. We come with nothing. We bring nothing. And we are thankful that that's the case. Because as we see in this chapter, that Lord, there is nothing we can bring, nothing we can do, nothing we can earn. So we thank you that this is all about your holiness, your righteousness, your grace, and your truth of the Son that you sent, our Lord Jesus. Amen. Friends, our last song, well, almost, Behold the